Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6, and beginning with verse 5, as we speak on the subject of dare to be a hero. Isaiah chapter 6, and beginning here now with verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now shall we pray? Father, I pray that you'd make this message clear, understandable to everyone that's in the auditorium today. I pray that you might have people within this group here that you'll call to be those that stand in the gap, that make up the hedge, those that would dare to be one of the Lord's heroes. And I pray, Father, that they'd be used mightily of Thee. Now, Lord, I pray that there are any unsaved here today that do not know that they died today, that heaven's their home. Today would be the day they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Some of you older folks remember watching the old TV programs. It's back when they actually had to act. There was no hint of immorality. The hero did not disrespect authority at all. If he was a father, he commanded the respect of the family. Often, he suffered persecution for doing good, only in the end to be proven right. Isn't it interesting? Back in that day, they did not need to cuss. They did not need to make sexual innuendo in order to hold your attention. Now today, it's brought on a whole new society that has to use sex, filthy language, and everything else in order to hold people's attention. They lack the ability to act, okay? And that's merely what I'm saying there. But this actor, whoever it would be in that day, was not the stereotype who went along with the crowd when the crowd was wrong. Many times we'd find in these programs the actor had to stand alone. We live in a day when God is calling Christians to be willing to stand alone. Even when your friends are following the crowd, he may be calling you to stand alone. With that in mind, let's first see the call to the Christian. Now notice what happens before the call in verse 8. In verses 5 through 7, Isaiah has witnessed this scene around the throne of God. And after witnessing this great scene, he says, Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When he got a look at the holiness of God, although he was a prophet of God, he saw himself as he really was. And he didn't like what he could see. He thought God would strike him dead. Woe was me. I can remember, I've shared this story before some time ago, but Ron Comfort, evangelist Ron Comfort, was speaking at Pensacola Christian College my first year. And I can remember him preaching on the holiness of God. And maybe because I was a married man at the time instead of a single student in the dorms, I thought of these things as I had opportunity driving back and forth. And I started asking myself, you know, we're commanded to be holy. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And it's actually the command at the nature of a military type command. And I started asking myself, well, what is the holiness of God? What is holiness? Have you ever thought about that? What is holiness and how does it identify with my life? How is it a part of my life? And I found over the next few months, as I thought about this off and on, I was actually growing depressed. Now, I'm not a guy that gets depressed, and people that know me will tell you that. You just don't see him depressed, but it seemed like that. I was depressed for about a month or two there. And finally, it dawned on me one day. I was seeing myself in light of God's holiness. And I had to finally ask God to show me his mercy and grace. Because I did not like what I was seeing. He sees that he's not only unclean, the people about him are unclean. But these are the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But you see, often it takes a good look at God before we truly see the need of revival in our own personal life. It's often a good look at God before we truly see the need of revival is in the fundamental church. Perhaps every Christian should ask God to give them an idea, a strong vision of what this holiness of God is and how it applies to our lives. But if you do that, make sure you ask God to, along the entire way, show you his grace and to show you his mercy, because you'll need it. Until his iniquity is purged and taken away, he cannot be used in the call of God. Getting a look at God made him realize, I need something. I'm wicked. I'm evil. And that's the point that he had to come to. Although he is a prophet of God, although he's a man of God's chosen, Israel, he has to realize that, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. He has to admit that. And then secondly, an angel, a seraphim, is sent. And he takes a coal off the altar there in heaven and touches his mouth. Lets him know those unclean lips are now cleansed. And his iniquity, his sin, is purged. What I want you to understand is God still works the same way today. Before he works in you, through you, he's got to work in you. You want to be used of God, let him work in you first so that he can work through you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, from all of our unrighteousnesses. But we've got to confess our sins. We've got to confess and be willing for him to cleanse us. A lot of times people say, oh, Lord, I did that day. I'm sorry. Lord, I did this. I'm sorry. Lord, this is true. I didn't do it. Oh, I should have done this. And Lord, I'm sorry. But there's no intent to be right in those areas. We're just saying, oh, I'm sorry. As if those are magic words that soothe everything over, and we have no intent of being right with God. God calls Christians to do His bidding. There was definitely a need in Israel at this time. As a matter of fact, in the first five chapters of Isaiah, the sins of God's people are mentioned. I'm going to give you seven things here. There's actually more in those first five chapters that if you read through them, you can see them. But first of all, we're told they were laden with iniquity and forsaking the Lord. Secondly, we're told they were likened to putrefying sores. The head was sick. The heart was faint. Thirdly, we're told children were disrespectful to the parents, to the law, basically to authority. None of them pointing these things out from Isaiah as a problem they had in their day. Can you see any likeness to today? Fourthly, strong drink. Nearly everybody drank strong drink to some degree in Israel during this decline. Fifthly, people won't like this, but it's in the Bible. There'll be people in our church probably that won't like this, but it's in the Bible. There may be people listening to us on the internet won't like this, but it's in the Bible. But a fifth thing is found in chapter 3, verse 12. Women were taking the leading roles in the country. He says in 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors. In other words, rebellion, gang. And women rule over them. O my people, they which cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now, I know people don't like hearing this today, whether they're conservative or whether they're liberal. But God ordained men to lead their home. And He ordained men to lead the countries. Now, that's the word of God. A lack of the knowledge of the Lord abounded is the sixth thing, although this country is God's people. As our country, a lack of the knowledge of the holy, it corrupts worship, it corrupts the individual life. Many times there are things in our life that we don't have any idea is reprehensible to God. Because we lack a knowledge of the holy. Seventhly, it's found in chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good, good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. In other words, they call evil good. They call good evil. How is that like that today? It's like calling a separated Christian, you're a legalist. Something's wrong with you. You got standards. And then somebody that's out there, that's lascivious, anything goes with them, but they do it in the name of Jesus, they say, oh, don't they have Christian liberty? Oh, what grace. And they're calling the good evil, and the evil they're calling good. Now, in this passage, God has angels all about Him. But He commits the warning of a nation, the warning of the lost, He commits that to His people instead of to the angels. It is His will that people do this. And so He asked, who shall I send? It's a volunteer mission. But it's a mission that 'll be well rewarded. Crowned. But it's also a suicide mission. Isaiah will not convert the nation of Israel. They'll end up going into captivity. As a matter of fact, tradition says Isaiah was killed for his faith by his own people. We must respond to God's call. He must be the one who says, "Here am I, send me." This call requires us to meditate in the word and prayer. Do you realize what we're reading here in Isaiah 6 is when Isaiah is alone with God? He's praying. He's honestly, sincerely seeking the face of God. Too many expect in seeking God's will to be thought of and treated as a hero. And when they're not, they quit. This call, it has intimacy with God. Again, Isaiah was alone with God when God responded to him. You've got to spend time alone with God. You'll find in these private times with him is where you begin to learn God's will for your life. And when you know God's call, you simply set out to do it. You do it. You don't quit. You have commitment until he takes you home. That's God's will. That's God's way. Too many quit today. He directs us today by his Holy Spirit. Look at verse 9. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Do you realize that Isaiah was not given details of the call before he responded? He didn't say, "Okay, Lord, you said here, who will go for us? Tell me exactly what you want done before I respond." He didn't say that. He just said, "Here am I. Send me." You see, you don't cherry pick the will of God. You don't get and say, "Hey, you know what? I would like to teach teenagers. I'd like to work in this ministry. I would like to do this. I'd like to do that." Find out what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do and be committed to it. A commitment that does not quit. Isaiah is told, "Go tell this people." Israel, a specific ministry. And he's given a specific message. But oh, here's the problem. His message will sound accusative. It'll be very, very negative to the people. But nonetheless, the message is true. And if this people are going to avoid the outpouring of the chastening, the scourging, and the wrath of God, they better heed his message. But in verse 10, Isaiah is told how the people respond. They're going to hate his message. Do you realize that Isaiah knew going in that his message would be rejected? Jesus knew that coming to earth. He is despised and rejected of men. That was told of him before he ever arrived. Too often we base ministry on What will it do for me and my name now? And we have no vision to look into eternity and see its glory. Many religious Jews who were faithful to their synagogue and other activities of their religion, they're going to be upset with this fundamental preaching of Isaiah from the Word of God. They'll want Isaiah to simply stop. You know what we're told is that Isaiah was sawn in half. Now, that's not actually in the Bible, but rabbinical teachings say that he was sawn in half. And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, it does say that some were sawn asunder. And this may have been Isaiah's death. And if it is, he'll die at the hand of the people he was sent to rescue. Let me tell you this before you ever start to seek to serve the Lord. That personal relationship that Isaiah had with God is what sustained him. It was real. He walked with God and it was real. He found his fulfillment from the Lord. But if you begin to look at people, the people you try to help the most may be the ones that hurt you the most. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Isaiah. It happens to others. Just remain true and get your comfort from your walk and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Christian has a call. But we see, secondly, there are contrary people. No matter what the message, you carry the message. The message today is not popular, even amongst many of what we call fundamental Christians. And they simply will not love you for it. It will cause persecution. And that persecution comes in various ways. You may see your family attacked. Vicious people may try to cause separation between friends. Sometimes you might even find a family member is the culprit. There are teenagers. There are adults who know these very things that I'm saying are true. And in the very face of these things are weaklings. Sissies, we might say. And the question comes, who will dare to be different? Who will dare to stand for our Lord? Who'll dare to be a hero? Just understand, God's heroes are not welcomed on this planet. But there is a hero's welcome that is like none other. And God just doesn't hand us out carte blanche. You do nothing for the Lord, don't go out there expecting the reward of the one that served God. Don't think, well, I'm going to be saved. I am saved, so, hey, I've got it made. You're going to get up there and find you're saved so as by fire and no reward. And you'll be ashamed at His coming. Talk about stereotypes. A few years ago, and I said a few years ago, probably back in the 60s and early 70s, to call someone a stereotype, that was what much of the hippie culture and much of the, even the college culture, they called individuals. They said, look, you're a stereotype. The establishment has told you what is acceptable in dress, in speech, in life. You're not your own person. Now, the funny thing about that to me, even back then it was funny, is that you'd see a group of these men, there'd be thousands of them together. All the girls would have long straight hair. The guys would have long hair and a beard. They'd be wearing overalls and few bathed. Thousands of people looking exactly alike. And they said, I'm my own person. Nobody tells me how to dress. But a stereotype is one who caves into the world system, who caves into every new fad that comes along. He knows what Christ would have he or she to be, but they fear rejection. They fear being considered a nut. They fear being abandoned by friends and family. And it makes them cower, just like a dog with its tail between its legs and running away for dear life. God looks over the American church today and says, where are the heroes? Where are the heroes who will hear the call of God and say, here am I, send me? If you're married today, it might be a decision you men make. And there are men who might make that decision, but you can't go because you have a wife who is not willing to pay the price socially, financially, and in loving, consecrated commitment. I shared with you last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was about my wife and I getting married and praying about that. I wanted to make sure she was the one because she's also the one who had to go into ministry with me and be a part of this family. And this is why you need family altars, and the entire family should be involved in ministry. Let me say this to you dads. And I mean this. You may not agree with it right now, but one day you'll stand before God and you'll realize I was right. But children do not determine where you go to church. You do. And God will hold you accountable. Dad, you're God's leader. Take the leadership of your home. Secondly, take them on visitation. If the teens have youth, send your teenager to that youth meeting. Let your family learn to serve to God together. What? I said that'd be the great thing about a bus ministry. If you got together in a bus ministry, mom and daughter on one side of the street, father and son on the other side of the street going down knocking on doors. A ministry a whole family could do together. Serve God together. Come in on Sunday morning. Come in a little bit early. Ladies, take your daughters to that prayer room. Men, take your sons to your prayer room and pray with them for the day's ministry. And thirdly, keep yourselves pure. Dare to be a hero, but have the love of God. It's such in your heart that you won't be a worldly Christian. The people in our text are sinful people. They're very needy. Trouble is, these people don't know how needy. They don't know that they're needy. They don't know that they need repentance and a life according to sound doctrine. And so when they hear the truth, they're contrary. You know, that's what we face in witnessing. In John 3:19-20, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Yes, there's a call to the Christian. And you're going to run into contrary people. All that live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. You can't be high society and be right. Now, you can live in that life, yeah. And you can have a testimony, but you'll find most of high society will reject you. But that's all right, because middle class society rejects it too. Low class society rejects it too. My help, my strength cometh from the Lord. And so we must see the continuing task. We have problems in this country that we mentioned as Israel had at the outset of this message. But notice verse 11 and 12. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. The Lord had removed men far away. There'd be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. How long do you want me here, Lord? In today's vernacular, to every man is dead. There's none left. The land's completely desolate. Till then, stick with it. That's what the Lord's telling Isaiah. Too many have answered the call to serve God. Sometimes it's with the pastor, a youth director, an evangelist, a Christian school teacher, or some other avenue of full-time Christian service. And they stuck with it. But when times got tough, they quit. There have been people from the lay side of the ministry who've got involved in Sunday school, singing in the choir, working on the bus route. But they heard people say things. They heard people talk about them. They watched as people would do things against them. And they quit. Let me tell you this. When your relationship with Jesus Christ is so personal and so real that you find comfort and joy in that relationship, you'll understand how Paul could sing in prison. And you won't quit. You won't quit. You quit when you get your eyes on others. I've watched preachers go to churches, be there 2 to 4 years, and say, well, I've done all I can do. And they look to leave to find if they can serve God in another place. In our text, God calls. God called. I've had people call me up and say, would you be interested? But people called me, not God. And until God calls me, I'm right here. My friend, that ought to be your choice. Until God calls me, I'm right here and I'm faithful. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Trials and troubles, whether they're from the outside or from the inside. You stick with it. Sometimes God allows those troubles. It separates the wheat from the chaff. You be wheat. Just be the wheat God would have. Trust Him to sustain you. I'm saying all this to say, if America's going to have revival, its churches must have revival. But we don't look at a nationwide church revival. It's individually. Central Baptist has to have revival. And the revival must start in the heart of each individual within that church. There's still a world, there's still a nation, there's still a city of people going to hell. And God has set us here as a light. Will you be that light? Now you may be here today. I'm calling on Christians to be a hero. for the Lord. But you can't be a hero for the Lord until He's your Savior. Are you absolutely certain that if you died today, that heaven's your home? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants to have it with you. He wants to save you from your sin. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to be saved, but boy, am I a sinner, and I'm hooked." Well, that's good that you're hooked, that you know that you're hooked. It's not good that you're hooked, but it's good that you know it. But I can tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, Jesus Christ can take that sin from you. He can cleanse you, and He will if you'll come to Him. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, in a moment, we're going to have this hymn of invitation, hymn 406. And I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today who is not saved. I didn't see any hands go up and say, "I'm not saved." But there is one that's not saved. I pray that they would come and receive Christ as Savior. And I pray for that Christian who has really allowed things to get in and make them quit, to defeat them. And yes, they have a day of devotion, and they have their time that they read their devotional booklets and say a prayer and read a little bit of the Scriptures. But their personal relationship has not become vital. And I pray that today, Lord, would be the day that they're able to enter a new and living and vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian. One that depends on Him and one that says, "I'm committed. I'm committed to my Savior. I will not quit." And I pray they go forward for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.